Sometimes it's good to see someone who's a missionary and they're not retired. Amen. Praise the Lord. And it's good to see Edgar and Aria. Is it Aria? Yeah, Aria. They were she was offered up not too long ago. And so although you didn't stand up, we're happy to see you here with your mom. Amen. So thank you for coming by. And thank you, Marcus, for not shying to share the word of God. And I'll have a little time later to spend more time with Anika and speak about all things New Zealand. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 21. And whenever I study and ask the Lord for a word way ahead of time, I also like his confirmation that I've gone in the right direction. And one of the things our brother Lawrence mentioned was to trust in Jesus, trust his cleansing, trust his cleansing. There's a reason why we have to trust his cleansing. And we're going to see that today. Matthew chapter 21. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 14 very quickly. And then 1 Corinthians 6:19. So when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them.' And immediately he will send them." Isn't that amazing that many times non-believers react more quickly to the Lord than we do? "All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey.' So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.' And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, 'Who is this?' So the multitude says, 'This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee.' Then Jesus went into the temple of God, drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple, overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, 'It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves.' Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them." Eternal God, our Father, as we look into your word, we need your Holy Spirit to take us into a deeper dive, a deeper truth of the things you would want us to extract, meditate on, chew, and swallow, and apply to our lives from what we've just read. And these scriptures are not just something we read and talk about on Palm Sunday. Oh, no. There's a greater message here. That the cleansing power of Jesus Christ is needed in order that his work will be done to his honor and to his glory. So, Father, now we wait to hear from you through your Holy Spirit and give to each of us our portion that we may take it home, spread it out before us, meditate on it in order for us to enjoy a closer walk with you and abundant life that Jesus Christ promised. In the name of our risen Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we wait on you today. Amen. We many times read this portion of Scripture and we lose sight of the fact beyond the multitudes, beyond what they said and did, what did Jesus do? Now you might be wondering, how does this apply to me? So I want to take you to something interesting, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? So, if Jesus rode into your town today and went into his temple, what things would he have to turn over? What things would he have to drive out? Come with me. The word of God is exciting, is it not? It's only dull because dull preachers mess up an exciting word. But come with me with a desire to know what God wants you to know today so you can understand. If you know Jesus Christ as Savior, that 'tis so sweet to trust his cleansing. And if you don't know him, you need to be cleansed. Now, we sometimes forget that this cleansing of the temple happened on two occasions. One at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, right after the wedding in John chapter 2. He goes to Capernaum. He goes into the temple and does the exact same thing, kicks out the money changers and all that. But what he says there is a little different. And now he goes back towards the end of his ministry. After this, he would go to the cross. But he had to cleanse the temple. The temple was very interesting at that time. Rome was in control. The people of God were like living in a puppet state. Across and behind from the temple, there was a huge tower, a fortress, named after Mark Anthony, called the Antonia. And in there, the Roman soldiers would be. And whenever the Jews had something going on, the soldiers, when they looked up, they could see hundreds of Roman soldiers on the top of the tower with their spears, letting them know that we're in control here. As a matter of fact, Rome had to approve their high priest. Rome would keep the high priest's clothing that they would wear once a year on Yom Kippur, would give it to them and say, "We're allowing you to do your thing, but don't forget we're watching you. When you come for Passover, Passover look up, and all of Jerusalem would be filled from people from all over. But despite the crippling political power of Rome, the Jews had not given up. The prophecies said a savior would come. A king would one day ride into Jerusalem on a donkey to deliver God's people from the evil of the ungodly. Isaiah, Zechariah, they all gave the prophecy. Imagine then when the Messiah comes riding in, going down the Kidron Valley on a donkey, what they were thinking, this is it! Boy, he's going to give it to them Romans. The rabbis said it would happen on Passover. The Messiah would come and judge the ungodly. There are hundreds and thousands of Jews in the city from all around the world. Jesus is coming on the donkey. And there were two. There was a baby one and a mother one. And he's going down the Kidron Valley, which is rocky. So sometimes he had to be careful. And he's coming in humility. He's not coming like the Roman generals on their war horses to conquer. He's not even coming like Solomon, who did the same ride, if you go back and read, the son of David. But guess what? Solomon came on a mule. You know what a mule is? A cross between a horse and a donkey. Jesus comes on a donkey, a symbol of the purity of his humility. And he comes, and the people said, he's here, Hosanna! To the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. The question is asked, who is this? Now he's the Son of David. What does that make him? King, doesn't it? Who is this? But they don't answer king. Jesus the prophet. Jesus the prophet, not the Messiah, not the king, the prophet. When you don't see Jesus as who he really is, you're in trouble. He's just a prophet. He's prophet, priest, and king. You get the picture? If he's not Lord of your life, then he's not in your life. He's not just a good man. He's not just a wise man. He's the Messiah. He's the Son of God. And they roll out the red carpet. Now it's interesting. Go back. You know how you know this is the Word of God? Because the Bible is the only book that quotes itself. There's no extraneous quotes from Confucius or anyone else. But always when you see a quote in the New Testament, always go back and match it word for word in the Old Testament. You see, this is quoting from Zechariah 9:9. But the entire verse says this, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, just and having salvation, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foil of a donkey. That's what the verse says in Zechariah. They forgot about the salvation part. It was not achieved yet. He did not go to the cross yet. And then he stops, and the people, oh, he's going to give it to them Romans. And what does Jesus does? He goes into the temple. Say what? He doesn't go to the Roman fortress, to Antonia. He goes to the temple. He enters the temple courtyard, and people are buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers, the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said, my house shall be called a house of prayer, Isaiah 56, 7. But what that entire verse says, for all nations. It wasn't quite there yet. But you are making it a den of robbers. That's Jeremiah 7:11. He takes those words from the Old Testament and puts them together. He doesn't go to the heart of the enemy occupation. He doesn't go to the barracks to drive out the ungodly. He goes to the temple, the heart of his people. And he was driving out those people who were providing a service of convenience to people coming to worship. Now, the law of Moses demanded that every male of Israel must redeem his soul by giving half a shekel as a temple tax. Well, the Jews could not bring their Roman and Greek coins into the temple because it had pictures of pagan gods on them, so they needed to exchange that money, okay, for shekels. So what the Jews did, what the Jewish leaders did at that time, they set up a forex, a currency exchange. Never mind that you had to pay a fee to get the shekel to place in the temple offering. The money changers and those who sold animals said people are coming in from all over. They can't travel with their doves or whatever, so we'll provide a nice and easy, convenient way for them to buy their doves. Is much more convenient. Now, they did that before, but it was always in the Kidron Valley, never in the temple. The high priest now allowed them to bring that stuff into the temple. And so what they're doing is making money off people coming to pray, making money off of those coming to worship. And God was angry because it was his house and they had brought junk into his house. Now remember what that verse in Corinthians says, know you not that you are the temple of God. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God. The Spirit is referred to many times as, you know, the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of Christ, and you're not your own. So if Jesus rode into your town today and went into his temple. What would he have to throw out? You know, many times we hear the word of God. The Holy Spirit is convicting us. And we still think that somehow the things that we're doing, our goodness and all of that, is good enough for God. And if you don't know Christ as Savior, if you're here today and God has been speaking to your heart, it's not about how good you are. The Word of God says you're never good enough for God. You need to be cleansed. And he's here today, and he wants to come in and cleanse you. And it's very important that you're cleansed. And if you know Christ as Savior, don't escape the fact that there's stuff in your temple that Christ needs to throw out. For some of us, it's our attitude. For some of us, we're trying to walk the line of the world and somehow mesh it in with the Bible and somehow come up with a compromise. For some of us, we want to give God an hour or two on Sunday and keep all the time the rest of the week for ourselves. For some of us, it's not caring enough about our brothers or sisters. We've been going through spiritual gifts. We've been saying you need to be here, to be present. A young brother found out he had a desire, but he still had to be present. He still had to exert himself. He still had to do studies and all these things so God would continue to lead him and develop him. A lot of us like to come on Sunday, preach to me, sing to me, but don't bother me. Do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Some of us, it's the things we watch. Some of us come in with the mega camouflage. Oh yeah, we read the scriptures that say, you know, examine yourself and their need and all that. But we don't take them seriously. So if he came into his temple, what things would he have to turn over and drive out? For some of us, it's just simply being complacent. You know, I always marvel, and I learn from people as I see them. And what amazes me many times is when I see certain sisters over the years, faithfully serving. Today, many of them need help walking. Many of them are not as strong as they used to be. But they're still going on. They're faithfully serving. And then many of our younger ones, yeah, you serve on occasion. But they're serving faithfully. If I'm not sick and I come down here on a Wanna Saturday, I know I'll see Sister June and Sister Frazier. We need some of our young people to get the bug, to want to come into the house of God more frequently, but to work. Look around. Jesus cleanses and throws out things that were widely accepted. Well, the people needed the shekels So isn't a currency exchange good? I mean, they're coming from all over. They don't have time. David was once offered some free land and all this stuff. And you know what he said to the person? I will not worship unless it costs me something. The Bible says, we're not our own wives. We've been bought with a price. And God expects us to understand the cost of what we've been purchased with. And he's saying to us, the cost of your salvation, although free to you, is more precious than silver or gold. And you need to comprehend that. Or as Peter says, you've been purchased with incorruptible. An incorruptible purchase. More precious than silver or gold. We might be thinking, well, the money changers, today's equivalent would be the televangelists. The name it and claim it. No. He's looking at your heart and my heart. Okay? Why is cleansing so important? Because of verse 14. Then, why the word then? Because after he cleanses the temple, then the blind and the lame came to him and the temple, and he healed them. The reason why many times many of us are powerless, the reason why many times we get down when things come up in our lives, the reason why we can't shake sin, the reason why things are happening in our lives, is because we're not cleansed. And no healing or blessings can flow when there's dirt in God's temple. Some of us might be, why is this happening to me? Go back. Go back and look at your lifestyle. And remember, these things were accepted. So you better look back at the things that you think are okay to see if according to God's word, it's okay. And don't try to rationalize it. There was a man who wanted to follow Jesus. And he said, Jesus, I want to follow you, but let me go bury my father. And Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead. Some of us are involved in politics. I don't worry about politics. Why? Let the dead bury their dead. They're dead people. You're getting worked up over dead people. There's a movie, I See Dead People. They're dead. You're alive in Christ. Why are you getting caught up in deadness? You ever remember when something happens and Jesus says, well, must not Christ have to suffer? In other words, didn't you read that this had to happen? And God is saying, don't you read that all these things must happen? Now, it doesn't mean you go in bed, pull the covers over your head and say, let the dead be the dead. It means that you pray with knowledge. And you pray with understanding. And you pray prayers, not let this person or that person get elected, but Lord, help me, since this shows that you're coming soon, help me to impact someone for your kingdom. the blind, those who can't see, the lame, those who can't walk, came to him in the temple, and he healed them. You know what that lets me know? That they were outside the temple all the time and got no healing. Why? Because the temple was dirty. Because Christ says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Is that what your house is called? So many times we have issues and things going on, and we're talking, and I appear, well, I think, hello, I don't want to hear what you think. I want to know, what did the Lord tell you? So next time you want advice and someone tells you, I think, run from them. If they haven't prayed over it, run. Too many of us like the I factor. Do you know that's not acceptable to God as well? We puff ourselves out. Look at what I did. Look at me. We like to get information. I. And I will struggle with something for a year and still can't do anything about it. And we bypass the power of God. Or they tell you what you want to hear. Sometimes you're suffering because you've got junk in the temple. And no amount of money, no amount of me loving you can help you until that junk is taken out. So we need to understand that. He didn't go after the Romans. Why? The wicked are supposed to be wicked. That's their resume. He went to his temple. Why? Because if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, then and only then will I hear from heaven and what? Heal their land. You see when healing comes in? Turn from their wicked ways. Repent. Only when God's people are clean does healing occur. Only when the temple is clean can you get healing. Some of us need to come because we don't know Christ as Savior. Yeah, you went to church. Mommy went to church. Daddy went to church. All these people went to church. God only has sons and daughters. He doesn't have grandkids, cousins, nephews, or nieces. Each person must have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you don't have a day when you could say, I heard the word of God, the Holy Spirit convicted me, brought me to the point of conviction, I surrendered my life to Christ, asked Christ to come in, and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ for my salvation. If you don't do that, or if it's a murky thing in your mind, be very careful. You might still be on your way to hell, even though you've sat through a million sermons. That's why the Bible always says, check out yourself and make sure you're in the good of it. Check it out. Check it out. I have no doubt that I have no doubt that I'm not saved. Okay? If someone says to me, are you saved? I can answer most assuredly. Not just basis of scripture, but the basis of the day I received Jesus Christ as my Savior is still crystal sharp in my head. Are you going to heaven? Absolutely. Now, you may not know the day, the hour, the month, or whatever, but you've got to know the day. You've got to know the time. You've got to know that you came to Christ and repented of your sins. You can't be there, well, you know, I went to VBS and I went to Sunday school, and I think in one of those instances I asked Christ to come in. Oh, no. Because seed could have fallen on soil that wasn't fertile. So be careful. Make certain that you know for certain, and only you can do it. I don't know if you're saved. Only Christ does, but make certain that you know that you're saved. Because you can't get blessings. You can't get healing. You can't have your eyes open and illumined to the Word of God. You can't jump up and run in His service if your temple is not clean, has not been cleansed by Christ. And so in closing, I want to challenge you with something. I want you to go back and read this passage again on your own, by yourself. If you're married, go in a separate room and read it. And say, Lord, what are you telling me through this? And then if there are things that need to be changed, ask Christ. Christ, I want to put my trust in your cleansing. Help me. Will you do that? If you're here today, you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior. I'm not going to tell you, see this, see me. And I could point you from God's word how you can be saved and know it. But don't leave here with a murky idea of your salvation. You've got to know for certain. As we close, sometimes sermons make you shout hallelujah. Sometimes sermons are intended to make you think. Examine yourself in the light of God's word today. When you go home, say to yourself, if Jesus Christ went to his temple today, are there things in it he would have to discard? And if the answer is yes, then pray to the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit to empower you to discard them so that God will be glorified and you will impact others for him. Heavenly Father, each time we look at your word, we're amazed at the new things you reveal to us. And as we would end this portion of our service today, we're reminded that your word says that today, if we hear your voice, harden not our hearts. So enable your word that was spoken to touch each and every heart. Enable each one of us to be able, through the Holy Spirit, to glean the portion that's applicable to us. So that whatever we say or do would result in you getting the preeminence and the glory. These things we offer unto you in no other name but in the name of our risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Brother.